We did it, folks. 9 years in, and we found a new low. Jamie, let's go watch Bolero.
And welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. I am one of your two podcast hosts. I am Jamie Lorello. On the other half of things is DP McCambridge. Very scantily clothed, perhaps? I'm not sure.
What? I'm not even wearing clothes. What are you talking about?
We are a podcast from the 80s, and we come here every 2 weeks to talk about a movie.
We've traveled back in time, or forward in time.
Yeah, we are a podcast from the 80s. Before they were even doing podcasts, we were doing them about the movies that were about to come out. Right. I mean,
about to come out. We're like, we saw a trailer on TV, I guess, for Bolero. We're like, we got to check this out.
We're into it. I think that's why my head's all messed up. A movie like this.
This movie—it's
poison in your brain.
It is. It's poison. It's poison, and like most poison, my body is trying to reject it. My body is trying to get it out of my brain. So now, listeners will know that we did Tarzan and the Ape Man first.
Okay. Well, we've got a theme going for our month,
right? Exactly. It's Bo Derek. December, whatever we called it. It was a horrible mistake.
Well, yeah, why did this happen? I want to know.
Well, okay.
I don't want to take too much time with it because it's happened now and we have to just get past it, right? I got to let go, surrender. I would rather
talk about the concept of Bo Derek December than
the
actual movie.
Why did we do this
movie to
ourselves?
Well,
why?
I know the answer to that,
I don't know,
Jamie,
why I agreed to this.
Because just the episode right before this, we released an old Patreon episode.
The Ghosts Can't Dance.
Yes, where we covered Ghosts Can't Do It. Close. You almost got it. And I listened back to that episode. If I ever release Patreon episodes, I do listen back in advance just to make sure we didn't say anything too spicy for the general audience.
Yeah, sure.
So I listened back to it, and near the end of the episode, we were both, I think more than you. I will take this. This is my fault. But we were both so curious as to, like, if this was a movie that she was in, directed by her husband, what do these other two movies have in store for us? And we both hated Ghost Can't Do It. It was terrible. Listening back to the episode, we were laughing and having so much fun with how ridiculous the movie is. I forgot late in that movie, a woman shows up and says she's a witch and they play baseball. I had no idea. Totally forgot about that part. There are diamonds that are introduced at the end. At one point, she's held at gunpoint. The guy's like, take this pill or I'm going to have to give it to you as a suppository. And she wakes up with her ass up in the air.
Oh,
like, we had so much fun with how stupid that is. And I think we were kind of just like, let's see if these other movies are just as ridiculous, but they're so much worse. Like, I mean, that was a bad movie, but Tarzan was really boring.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an embarrassment.
An embarrassment.
This is an embarrassment to cinema.
I'm not against that. All right, thank you for the clarity as to why we stuck with the bow.
Oh, and then I was like, let's just do something called Bo Derek December.
Yeah, Bo Derek December.
And you were like, that sounds terrible. And then I went, no, this will be a lot of fun.
Well,
and it turns out to not be.
Well, in both movies, like both, sometimes I'll say, well, this was terrible, but, you know, at least I saw it. It's part of this podcast and we get to see these crazy things. I don't want to know these two movies existed. I don't want to know, especially this one, more or less. And although, like you said, in the others, I could just appreciate how wacky some of it was. This was definitely a little off the wall too. This is not what I want to watch, basically. I'm being a big baby, and this is not
No, because you can listen.
It's a filthy film is what it is.
Okay. And I will, listen, let's try, since we are a podcast from the 80s, let's travel back in time real quick.
Right, we're from the 80s.
So I guess if you are looking for what would be considered pornography in the mid 80s, this is your best delivery system?
Well, not necessarily your jam. It depends. Again, I personally, here's the thing I said before, if it was like a sexy, seductive, sensual kind of movie, I'm not against it. I also, myself, don't find Bo Derek that attractive. She has this weird features to me. I know she's very traditional attractive, but to me, those eyes are almost like insanely piercing. And I will say I did a little bit of research, not much, because I had did the last couple of Bo Derek's. I did research on Bo Derek, found out she actually grew up in Lomita or outside of Torrance, where I lived in California for a little while. She went to high school over there.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, well, and learned about, you know, the salacious background there with Bo. But I had never really looked up Bo Derek, and or not Bo, her husband, John. John Derek, right?
John.
Yeah, very fucking creepy. And there was this whole, you know, the interwebs will tell you all the background of his sad story with his mother being, putting him, he didn't want to be an actor, but his mom put him into film because he was so handsome, right? And then he did some acting for a little while, but he felt like he was always being cast as the pretty boy, and then he started photography and directing and all that stuff, and two out of his four wives were both underage, like, and met on, one of them didn't speak English. and he couldn't communicate, like he didn't speak whatever she spoke, I don't remember, but anyway, at least this is what Wikipedia tells me. Also, interestingly, I thought this was my other takeaway, was because both the actors in this movie have that same, like,
who do you mean both? What are we talking about?
What is it? The one that's the sheik and the other one
God. He looks like John Derek. Like,
if you thought. All right. I thought he's casting these creepy, well, even creepier is he's casting these actors that look like a young version of him and making them do this. Because that's the other layer of creepiness to all of this, is knowing that this relationship that they had, right? These Bo Derek movies, that's the other, like, you can almost be like, okay, this is just a silly, sexy romp of a film and it's not my thing, but I get it. You got to see your tits and ass somehow, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And I don't love how they went to school for what? And it was just graduation day? It was just time to graduate? I don't understand.
Wonderful question. And their school appears to be a castle? Is the castle somewhere? Or is that a dorm?
I don't know. But the first thing you want to do when you graduate is moon the whole school and flash your titties around. That's exactly what I thought.
My favorite thing is her chauffeur, George Kennedy.
Mm.
Academy Award winning George Kennedy looks fucking miserable to have to be in this movie. And he's not even trying to hide it. Like,
wouldn't you be? Oh, it's...
Yeah. Yes. No, this is beneath him.
What's he doing? That's what I thought too. Like, how'd they get this guy?
I know it's just a paycheck. Actors do this all the time. I understand. But you can see, like, the light going out of him every time he's on camera. Like,
it's a rough.
There's a scene where he looks so sad. And I'm just like, he right now is questioning, like, where did my career go wrong?
Was it when they were on the hilltop by the car looking at the cattle in the pastures? Because where the hell did that come from? A lot of times we're transported in this movie and I'm like, where are we now? Why are we in a forest with a magical, like, waterfall and fire? Where does this guy live or bang his ladies?
What forest? Okay, that wait one a second. Guy, I hope we watched the same movie. It was called Bolero.
We did.
But Derek was in it.
When they go after the Spanish guy and he's with the other older gypsy lady.
And it's suddenly there's snow everywhere. And I'm like, I don't know where they are. I don't know how they got here. They drove there and then are like, hey, I don't know how you got here. Apparently that horse you're riding, you want to lift back into town? He's like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And they also, the candlelight dinner where nobody communicates with each other. They just make eyesies at each other the whole time.
Well, is that the same dinner? No, there's a later dinner. Is that the same dinner where her friend teaches like an 8-year-old boy how to make eyesies?
Yeah, that's the same dinner.
That was another time I almost pressed, like, we're
telepathically communicating with one another. I hated this movie. So, Jamie, so I run for our show, I run there's an app. It's called Letterboxd, mm-hmm. where you can log movies that you've seen. So I do that personally. Just, you know, I watch a movie and I'll rate it whatever, 1 star through 5. And strangely enough, a lot of times it's so that I remember I watched a movie. Like, I'll come across things streaming and I'll be like, have I seen this?
Let's check my rating.
Yeah, and I'll look at it and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I watched it. So I have a list of movies we've done for our podcast, a whole list, and you can categorize. Like, you can go back through and you can say, like, can you list these in star order, you know, worst to best, or, you know. So what I do and what I've done is I've kept my personal opinion out of this, and movies that both you and I don't like, it either gets like a half star to like 2 stars.
Okay.
And then movies that we were kind of split on goes like 2.5 to 3.5 or whatever. And then movies we both like goes, you know, 3.5 to 5 or something like that. I after I watched this, I was like, okay, what are our half star movies?
Oh, and how many half stars do we have?
I kind of wanted to go back in and change all of those to full stars. So this could be the only half star movie we've ever seen. Because I went through and I was like, oh, Parasite, that horrible movie with Demi Moore.
Oh,
like that was a challenge. I'd rather watch it.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, I was thinking not about Parasite specifically, but I was thinking, was there any other movie? Because like I said, I did not finish this. And there has been, in the history of our show, I've never not, I maybe have fallen asleep.
You fell asleep during Tron.
For Tron.
That was a big one where you missed
it
the ending.
It was too visual for me. Too much going on there.
You were like, I'm just going to give my eyes a break. And then you woke up 3 hours later on the couch.
And I was like, what just, but, and I've had like, you know, had to split up the watching of some. But this was like, there was no need for me to complete it.
Other movies we've hated, like, do you remember with Nicole Kidman, do you remember BMX Bandits?
Yes.
Yeah, like, that was terrible. I think I'd rather watch that than this. Like, I think every movie, and there's something really nice about this. This is, I believe, the worst movie we've ever seen for the podcast. And there's something nice about being, like, 9 years in where I'm like, oh, my God, we found it.
Yeah. Out of all the movies we have watched, this, I could say that confidently. There's not even another one that stands out to be in the running. I mean,
no, I would, a movie we both hated. What was it? Trucks Come to Life. Emilio Estevez.
Maximum, I would watch
Overdrive.
That again.
I'd watch it again. And we hated,
even what I hated, I was
hated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything worse.
This is uncomfortable movie. This is not just not good movie.
It doesn't make sense. There's not a plot that I can really hold on to. There's nothing keeping my interest throughout. Like, if this is all you had before Skinamax was a thing, and I understand, but even that, I'm like, at least Skinamax films are like, dude, 90 minutes and we're out. Like, that's
yeah,
it.
We're
not
making things quick.
This.
And that too, like, so if you were just there for the sex part, you get a lot of in-betweens. As we find out in these Bo Derek movies, there's a lot of landscapey things. There's a lot of her with animals. There's a lot of her, like, I didn't understand that. Okay. All right. So let's just get started, because we've already pre-talked it and I only got 40 minutes in, or an hour.
I know that I say this a lot, and you've made fun of me for saying this a lot, because you're always like, well, every movie can't be the one where you took the least amount of notes. I stopped at some point, not stopped taking notes, but my notes turned into like 2 to 3 word phrases. Yeah. Like, at some point I was like, I'm done. And also, Jamie, the end of this movie is probably a 5 to 7 minute sex scene.
Well, who's she
and
with
was,
then? Tell me she sleeps with the driver. I was like, if
that's
the next step,
is
there's
going
to be an orgy, and I don't want to be in on this.
Given John Derek and a much older man with her, I was like, is she finally going to find love with George Kennedy? But no, that's not how it ends.
Okay.
Did you get to the point where her Spanish boyfriend's dick breaks?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, this should be a lot of fun. Not really. But you might learn a thing or two about how, I guess, male anatomy works.
No, I got to right before, I guess, that when she gives him his kiss on his ear and there's the spit that happens. I was like, and then right after that, I was about to, I was like, this is, I don't need to go further.
When she's dressed as a ghost, the only point in this movie where I smiled because I went, I give up now.
But that too, and there's the other one when she gets her sweatshirt caught on her. She does these silly things in the middle of these sex scenes, and I'm like you said, so was this scripted? Is this something she's done in her life with John Derek, is what we're seeing?
I don't want to be privy to their personal lives.
Are you trying to just make her seem more childish because you're into the idea of a man fucking a child? And then what are we doing with that? What was her name? Portia? Poor boy. What was that other actress? The 14-year-old gypsy girl. What are we doing with that? That's wrong.
Yeah, you don't need to make Bo Derek seem like a child because you literally have a child in this movie and you make her take her clothes off multiple times.
Yeah, and talk about how she's a woman and rub her boobs.
Do you know who that actress is?
No.
That actress was the sister from The Wonder Years. Sister. Remember how Kevin had a sister who would show up from time to time? Yeah, that's her.
Wow.
Yeah, so at least she is probably, other than Bo Derek and George Kennedy, the only performer in this movie that actually had a career. Like that Sheik, that Sheik was a one and done. Like you look up his IMDb, that's it. What did he really do? Right. The bullfighter, he's an Italian actor. He was in some Italian movies, but
he sells wine.
Not much.
You can't buy horses.
All right. Let's start out because we open this movie for some reason, I guess just to give us an idea of the time period, with a silent film. It felt like Three Amigos at the beginning of this. And I was like, I hope this is like a Three Amigos, but with Bo Derek.
No such luck.
It's not. And also this scene does this scene mean anything? Because she just leaves. Is it just so these actors could be like, these actors who, first of all, look like identical twins. They're like, Bo Derek is the ones so that hot, are in right?
the... Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who are they? Now, is that the lead actor in the movie, or is she just, are they, no, those are just, okay. Like in the movie that she watches. Yeah.
Don't know. Because everybody, it's like when I watch Downton Abbey, how I'm like, everybody looks the same. Yeah. They're all white people in tuxes. I can't tell one from the other.
One character from the other. Well, I think it's just, she's at a movie with her friend. She's got a bestie, girlfriend. And this movie inspires her. They're about to graduate university, I'm going to say, with a degree in IDK.
A degree in world travel, it appears.
Right? Or no, what does she say when she sees that one guy? I'm going to be a rich bitch. I wrote that line down.
The Scottish guy?
Yeah, the Scottish man who just watches the sunset with for a couple hours with the driver right there. I didn't understand that at all. Did they like have some kind of...
First time in this movie that I was like, oh no, is this actor trying to do a Scottish accent? Because this is embarrassing.
No, and then the rest of the accents throughout the movie is like, I mean, I could do better, for sure. That's not even Scottish. I don't know what it is.
But you're closer than he is. He's like Scottish by way of South Africa. It's terrible. At least you're in the right sort of like continent. So they're graduating and they're very excited. Bo's like, oh, I can't wait. Like, we're going to get out of here and then we're going to travel the world.
Well, she's excited to have sex is what she's excited to do. Yes. And the movie, she wants to travel the world. And this movie, and particularly the actor in it, and I guess the scenes out in the desert, get her all hot and bothered. She tells her friend that she's got big plans when she graduates to travel and have sex and lose her virginity. We should know that. Yeah.
Can I pitch an idea for this movie to you? It's not going to be less gross than this.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to say it's going to be better. But the movie that I thought I was in store for, especially after we see the Sheik part, I thought this was just her jet setting and country hopping and having misadventures with men who cannot perform or something goes wrong. I didn't know that it was just a two-time, like, Sheik, Spanish, and then we'll spend all of our time in Spain.
Oh, is that what happens after that? Well, see, because I didn't know
she never leaves Spain.
And so she's with that guy and she breaks his penis eventually?
Well, she doesn't. A bull does.
Oh.
Yeah. He gets gored and then is upset because he cannot perform anymore. So she then has to fix him by learning how to ride and showing him that
ride the
she
horse?
Yes.
The, oh, the
well, and then
wanted.
Him at the end. But she wants to show him that she can effectively fight a bull, thereby, I think, getting him aroused enough for him to have sex at the end of this movie. I don't know.
I mean,
like, and that is honestly, I don't exactly know, and I can't wait to find out where you ducked out, but I think that is the last 40 minutes of this movie. Anyway, so she and her friend are very excited. Her friend who has an, I wrote Italian accent because that's what I thought it was. It isn't. Mm-hmm. It appears to be Spanish from, as I said in our pre-show, this actual Spanish actress who cannot do a Spanish accent. And her friend is also a virgin?
It's a school for virgins, I think. It's a school to just get rich virgin women ready to travel. And it pens them up quite a bit because that is... You know, both of their thing is like, we're going to leave school and we're going to get crazy. Right. Her friend, we find out later, her friend's family owns a winery. Because everybody at this school seems to be loaded. That's another thing. She graduates. We don't get to meet her family. We don't know. She's a rich orphan, I guess. But this driver comes to pick her up. As you said, he's the actor. Tell us his name again.
George Kennedy.
George Kennedy.
Most people, I think, would know him from the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah.
He's so funny. Like, he's so good in that.
What's his name? Isn't his name Cookie or something?
It's Cotton.
Cotton.
Just call him Cookie. Why not? I mean, seriously.
No, it's
But he
Cotton.
Won an Academy Award for Cool Hand Luke, like, 20 years before this. And this is an embarrassment to this man. Oh, you know what? No, I'm not. No. He took the check. He accepted the job.
Right?
He's in it. Yeah.
And maybe this
looks,
was a favor for someone.
On set. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. So she strips down. She's like, listen.
He picks her up to start her. She's graduated, again, with no fanfare, no family. And he picks her up to take her on to wherever she's going next. Now, we find out that he's been her driver since she's like 3. Because she strips down. She says, can you just wait? Their interactions, too, are just, her acting, that's all.
It's, you mentioned her eyes.
Yeah.
Her style of acting is to open her eyes as wide as they can go every time she's on camera and to scream deliver every piece of dialogue she is given, whether she's a mile away from somebody, whether she's just alone on set talking to herself, or whether the person is direct, whether she has her tongue in the person's ear, she is screaming at him.
Well, she talks to him about wanting to do something that she's never done, but that she's just, you know, it's time.
She's been waiting. She's like, I've been in college for question mark amount of time.
Right. Studying. But this is something I've got. And he's like, sure. And he promised not to hate me, or I don't remember. She makes him make some goofy promise. And then she runs out naked on the field and moons the school and dances around the beautiful countryside of her school.
She doesn't. If you're going to go and you're going to moon somebody, I'm not saying do it, you know, but that makes sense. And Jamie, to say that she moons people is kind of correct. She takes everything off. Everything. Mm-hmm. And moons them and then like just sits down in the courtyard or something.
And I'm seeing where we're going at first with you. I'm not trying to give this movie any kind of fair shake when I started. But I'm like, okay, she's a wild child. Fine. We see this. It's like, again, so they do something that you're like, okay, kind of crazy. Kind of like the honey thing. All right. But then there's a layer of like, ugh, on top of it. So then he says to her, the driver comes down and says, he's like staring. The Scottish man is there that we mentioned staring at her.
Oh, yeah,
the
guy in the kilt shows up.
This guy in the kilt is just standing there, full kilt, just watching her like in this weird pose.
He appears to be shot in a different location on a different day. It cuts to him and it's like sunset. And then we cut back to them. It's the middle of the afternoon.
And he too, again, he's just so, and the driver comes down and says to her how, like, is marveling basically at her and her body and how she's become a woman. And the last time he's seen her naked was when she was 3 or 4. And I know it's supposed to give you, maybe it's supposed to give you an affectionate father-daughter feel, but it gives you a totally creepy, it's not appropriate.
It's a total creep vibe we get. And it would have been nice if they did have that father-daughter relationship.
Like, yeah, it would have taken away the layer of creepiness.
Because he basically comes in and he, like, puts a coat on her and everything. They have the worst, I was going to say the worst conversation. It's horrible. The dialogue in this is terrible because she's like, oh, I embarrassed you, didn't I? Did I embarrass you? Are you embarrassed? Was that embarrassing for you? Did I embarrass you? I think you're embarrassed. Are you embarrassed? Was that embarrassing? How about I just fire you as my driver? Then we can talk.
Oh,
and then
I can rehire you. What is this conversation?
I don't know.
And he's just like, I just need to work. I've never not worked. Not since I was 13.
Yeah, then she rehires him as her driver and is like, great, let's go. Also, he talks about seeing her naked as a baby.
Creepy.
I don't like this.
Well, and then she talks about how they both notice the Scottish man looking at her. He's some kind of lawyer. She's like, oh, well, he's cute. Next thing we know, we cut to a scene where the three of them are watching the sunset together. The Scottish guy, Bo Derek, and the driver, George Kennedy. Sorry, my notes just fell.
Your notes are trying to get away.
They are.
Your notes are trying to escape and then burn themselves somehow.
And then that's that. We don't know if she's had relations with this guy. I don't know.
Of course not. Jamie, she's a virgin, and that's the most important thing about this movie for the longest time. It's all anyone can talk about. But the main thing is, and this is such a throwaway nonsense bit, but I guess it's to let us know as an audience how any of this is happening. She talks to this Scottish guy who's like an estate manager or a lawyer or something.
And it's
basically for her to go, well, I can't believe I'm as rich as you say I am. Great. The end. Now we know how they get to.
Was that what he's there to just establish that
that's
she's got a
shit all
ton
he's
of money?
There for? Jamie, do you know that? Were you there? He comes back at the end.
Oh, no, I don't.
He has a much bigger part late in this movie. So now she and her
friend... Does he have the kilt on later on, too?
Oh, yeah, he's got the kilt. Oh, the kilt becomes a topic of conversation, and you're peeping on this kilt in multiple scenes. People are trying to grab it and look underneath it.
What?
Yes.
Are they...
we'll get there.
Know. Okay.
So now we cut to she and her friend literally rocking the Casbah.
Yes.
Because as you said, she's just on an adventure to go to exotic locations to try and find the hottest guy she can to take the gift of her virginity. The gift! When she meets this sheik.
The sheik.
And sits down and is like, I've come to give you a gift. Mm-hmm. The gift of my virginity. And this guy who's just a white guy with eyeliner on.
I do like the excessive use of eyeliner to just say like, on those creepy eyes of hers.
There's a lot of eyeliner in this movie. Mm-hmm. The eyeliner budget, I hope they paid George Kennedy more than the amount they spent on eyeliner in this movie. So she's like, listen, you're the best dude in the area. You're a sheik.
Well, and people always respond to her. Anybody that responds to her is like, you are the most, like the parking lot attendant. You are the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
How are you even talking to me? Like he does. Now, I will say, this sheik is high on off the hookah for most of his scenes. Like even when she first arrives, and she's like, "Can I talk to the sheik?" They're like, "He's hitting the hookah right now," and she's like, "Oh, okay."
He's hitting it pretty hard. You're gonna have to give him.
And
a
then before
bit of time.
The honey scene that comes up next, he's hookahing. He's like, "Before I take your gift, I need to hit the hookah."
Yeah,
I need
this guy appears to be a drug addict. Not
but then that too, like, so that's all part of this creepy vibe of this movie. It's like sex and drugs. Not that has to be creepy. Then there's this other layer of creepy. Like, so she goes, it's her and her friend and her driver that go to get this sheik.
Yep.
So it's like she's always like this old guy, just like our dead can't dance or dead can't screw, whatever the hell it's called. There's always this older guy watching over her throughout these. And again, it's not the fatherly protective type. I mean, it's sort of more what this guy is, obviously. But, yeah.
I mean, this guy is more of a fatherly protector than we've seen in either of the two movies before this. Because the one was her dead husband. And the other one is her dad who runs around without pants in Africa. Yeah, and, that was that seemed to be an abusive relationship.
Yeah, he was not all there.
No.
What about when he leaves? This is creepy too, because now her friend is, and I get it that, so her friend doesn't want a sheik necessarily. They're kind of in it together, but really it's not. It's Bo's thing. And she decides she's making eyesies with Driver, and later is sitting with Driver, and somebody asked Driver, I keep calling him that, but somebody asked her to dance, her friend to dance, and she's like, oh, this is my husband. I'm like, what creepy, what's going on here with the...
Yes, just for a minute, I was like, wait, are they married?
Are they into each other?
It wouldn't have surprised me if it suddenly revealed that they got married when she was 14 or something like that. Because I was like, what is this relationship? Jamie, don't worry, I will save you. It's not like these two end up together or doing anything. George Kennedy keeps his clothes on. He does enter into an age-appropriate relationship near the end of this movie, which I kind of appreciate.
So he finds a love at the end. Interesting that they wrap it up in such a way.
But you're right, for so long, I'm like, well, wait, these three are traveling companions. Mm-hmm. And so this sheik, first of all, is like, listen, that sounds like a great gift. I can't wait. But how about I unwrap this gift tomorrow?
Yeah.
We have to fly to a certain location.
Well, because she requests a certain location. She's like, I want to give you this gift. I'm all about the gift. He's like, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm really high right now, but I think I could make this gift happen. And she's like, well, wait, don't get crazy. I need to be in a desert with some tents. And he's like, oh, because he says, this is wonderful. I'll take you home to my palace and we'll screw in my magical bed in the palace. And she's like,
first of all, sounds amazing.
Yeah, I was like, take the palace. It doesn't sound terrible. And she's like, I need tents and I need the desert. And he was like, okay, tomorrow morning, helicopters it is. Yeah. Is this the guy that gets a massage? Oh, no, it's the bullfighter guy that gets a massage before going to
have sex. Also, when he's getting a massage in the steam room, and he's like, I'm just going to sleep in here tonight. Is that cool? So they get in a plane. I couldn't even believe this, because for a second I was like, is she flying a plane? Does she need to fly a plane?
Okay. She gets in like I'm going to call it a Amelia Earhart style plane.
Amelia Earhart style plane. Yes.
And I like it. Even they're all like,
plane is this?
Her friends are like, I don't trust you in this. This is an airplane, and I wish this wasn't your adventure because it's making me nervous. And yeah, the sheik is like, this is a wonderful airplane. It's got all these, what does he say? He says it's got all these perks, and it's I don't remember.
He says it's beautiful.
It's this bright yellow airplane.
Yeah, he's like, it's 5 years out of date, but I haven't seen a plane like this. And I'm like, so did she charter this plane? Like, did she buy this plane outright? But he's amazed by it. I don't think it's his.
I thought it was.
Because so did I, until he's flipping the fuck out because of how great this plane is. I was like, you don't do this. Like, if you own your car, you don't walk out to it and they're like, look at this thing.
He's excited. He's taking it for the ride to the desert.
Her whole thing is she wants him to like act out this silent film that she saw at the beginning of this movie. She has him like ride his horse down some dunes, and
she retells the story. So she's get it by way of her meeting up with her friend over tea, or juice or something, and her and because they're drinking like orange juice at one point. I was like, what do they have anyway?
Important to the movie.
I don't know why I had to. It was just something I was oddly noticed. But yes, they have a drink together, and she's retelling about what happened, how it all went down. And she says, he whisked me away, and I really wanted him to do, when she talks sometimes, I really wanted him to do like they did in the movie where the horse came and he picked me up and he was riding the horse, but the guy's having issues with his horse. He's like, I don't know, the horse does not like me.
First of all, great accent, because I don't know what accent this guy's doing either. He tries to do a Middle Eastern accent for a while. Later when they're in the tent, and he's like, Hello, hello. I gotta tell you, I'm really a British man. That's why I went to school. I had an English nanny. And I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. I was like, where is the reveal where he takes his headgear off to reveal like blonde hair? No, I think we're still supposed to believe that he is a sheik from the Middle East. Cool. And she's like, listen, let me tell you how we did it. First of all, he took off all my clothes after taking many drags from this hookah. Like, this yeah. guy is flying
after hitting high. The hookah hard.
And then he brings out the honey per her request.
Yeah, it was part of her vision. Yeah, she had a vision.
And he dumps so much honey on her.
A lot of honey.
He's drowning himself. Oh, wait.
We forgot, because I think this is kind of key to part of the honey and the placement of the honey. When she's talking about the tent and the area where they went, where he whisked her away to, and there's all these servants and all these wonderful things and foods and teas, and there's belly dancers. And there's this shot of her staring at the woman belly dancing and trying to belly dance too.
Oh, and I forgot about this.
And he is all excited because he says the belly is like, this is a real sexual spot, a real turn-on spot for guys, the belly. So that is why I attributed why he, because he pours a ton of honey. And listen, you can, food and sex, it's your thing, right? But like the neck, the thigh, there's sexier areas than the belly to start dumping your honey.
There are ways to do it, and also appropriate amounts of food to add to sex, too. I believe.
This is like, just messy sex now. This is out of hand. She's already a virgin. You're going to have some things on your hands in that way. Now you're adding honey to the mix.
This is basically him like unscrewing the top of the honey bear and just dumping the whole thing out.
No, but not just the honey. Like we said, it's real liquidy. So he mixed the honey with a significant amount of water. Yes. As if to say maybe it'll be less sticky, but it's actually messier. I'm not a fan of the way it's working out for them.
As he's moving down her body, it's all over his face. It's not just like his tongue and mouth. It's like on his forehead and his cheeks.
Well, because he can't help himself at this point. And she's doing this weird like reaction, like fanning her face with her hands.
Every time she has sex in this movie, she's like, I know how sex works. I wave my hands like a magician the whole time, right? She's also like vibrating as though she's having an orgasm, which I didn't quite understand. Like, is that how we're supposed to read this? Or is she trying to belly dance into his face?
Well, that's, I guess that I didn't want to overthink this movie. No. But I'm guessing the movement, the belly dancer, I don't know. The belly and the sex drive and the shock, I don't know. I don't want to read too far into it because it just wasn't my jam
of a film. But I have to say, it was disgusting. Like, I had so much trouble watching this scene because the honey looked so gross.
Well, and then they put it in slow motion. Yes. So on top of this happening, and you're already maybe uncomfortable for a variety of reasons, they add slow motion to it and she retells it, and then we find out that kind of it stops there. She kind of ends her story and he kind of ends his, doesn't his face kind of plant in her belly in the big puddle of honey?
And then he slides off of a honey body to the side and kind of like just passes out in the sand. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and that's how it ended.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Fantastic. Cut to her friend going, hey, I'm from Spain or whatever. Why don't we go to my country? It's called Spain. So we cut to, so we know we're in Spain. We suddenly watch a bullfight and a child getting wasted on wine. Did you see this
and
kid
jumping into the bull? Is he the same kid that jumps into the bullpit?
I think it's the same kid at the table that is also making eyesies and stuff. Mm. Thankfully, we don't have to watch a bull die in any of the bullfighting scenes, but there's a lot of bullfighting scenes in this movie. Mm. Way more than I thought we were going to be privy to. So her new thing is, all right, that sheik was a dud. I'm going to find a super sexy bullfighter.
Yeah.
And that's the guy who's going to take my virginity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if he's involved with some other woman or whatever. I'm going to make sure that he knows I'm beautiful and we're going to totally do this thing. Mm-hmm. Let's show up and then get invited to dinner.
I don't know if he doesn't understand social, not just dinner, like Yeah. So she pushes him. She's like, I got to meet this bullfighter. She claims under the guise that she likes his horse.
Yes.
It's the horse
which
she's after.
Which we kind of find out is true.
Yeah, it's kind of. And yeah. But like you said, she aggressively pursues him. Even though I don't want to say I like that, but I appreciated that he acknowledges you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But even like he's got his family dinner that she can join him at, but that's the plan for the night. He invites her to dinner and you're thinking, and she says, well, I have my friends. And he's like, okay, we'll bring them. And so now you're thinking, I'm thinking, oh, we're going to have this awkward dinner where there's two extra wheels,
right.
But no, it's already awkward because it's his family dinner. His mom, who he doesn't get to see a lot, who's apparently from Louisiana, is there, and his little cousins or little brothers
and
sisters. No
son of mine's gonna be banging no bimbo from the States.
I like how you riled up. That.
As I move around, yeah, in my 10-gallon hat.
Yeah, look at that. So anyway, yeah, she's invited to a dinner that's basically a family dinner that he's having. It's really weird. Like, why? What's happening here? There's definitely some sexual tension during the dinner. No one's talking. She's noting to her friends that no one's talking. The driver's there as commentary just about how delicious everything is. The girlfriend is there. Her friend is there just to make... She's like, what are you doing? You're like, you're making eyesies. Because they do eventually start making these weird eyesies with each other.
This is a scene where I started to think, I'm like, oh... These people might not speak English. Like that might be the issue here. They are in Spain. Maybe they don't speak English because nobody's said.
Yeah, nobody's even.
It's she and her friend whispering to each other. Every now and then, we cut to George Kennedy just sitting there, shoving food in his face, and then we cut to them, the Spanish people, just sitting. Everyone's sitting. Nobody's having a conversation. And then this guy, like, I love the fact that he invites this woman to dinner and is like, well, you're not going to wreck my plans. Like, I have a system. And right now is the time where I get up, I excuse myself from the table.
And now I go see my gypsy whore over in the mountain house.
But I think it's important to mention, though, that his mother appears to disapprove of this street urchin that he's befriended and now just brings around, where I was very uncomfortable. When he gets up to leave, I was like, it's been established that this girl is a child. If he takes her with him, I think I'm done watching this movie.
Well, there was points with her that I was almost done. So we see her, you're right. Paloma, I think is her name. The actress that you said was from The Wonder Years is this younger gypsy that is kind of being groomed to soon be his gypsy whore. But he's got someone right now, right? The older redheaded lady with the curlier hair.
Good
but
call.
She...
And it is a term that's all the rage now, but this guy's totally grooming this girl.
Yeah.
No secret about it. He found her on the street, it appears.
When he ends his little bullfight that Bo Derek watches, she hops on the back of the horse as they ride out of the ring. She's almost falling. Did you notice that?
Oh, like, she has so much trouble staying on this horse at the end.
I was like, is that? I don't think that they meant for that. But anyway, she's
but John Derek's like,
cut, print,
we're done. We're not reshooting that. It's fine. Let's get inside. Everybody take your clothes off. Let's go.
She's important to note because she becomes sort of this character. She's the key to them getting closer to the Spanish guy, the bullfighter.
Yeah, and so, this is what happens because Bo Derek's like, hey, how do you feel about fancy earrings? Why don't you tell us where that guy went?
A compact mirror. What do you feel about a mirror?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, this is very nice.
This is very nice. I'm such a poor little girl. I do not to see these things. Can I also take baths in your room? Is that fine?
Well, then they become buddies, right? So the Paloma. Bo Derek bribes Paloma to say, I know where you know where he is. You know I want him. Or I want to just talk to him about his horses.
There's something so adorable
is there?
About this, like... This hot tub right next to her gypsy wagon.
Oh, yeah. Like, I did like this
it's
setup.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. I was
it's
mad
like a
that
fun
she
little
didn't
set
get
that
yeah,
they built.
It is. Yeah. It's like there's like a waterfall with like a fire pit leading into the hot tub. It looks really like a cute little Airbnb,
it
actually.
It really does.
Yeah. Yes. With this little like treehouse set off by a deck. But yeah, they arrive and Paloma's like, yeah, see, I told you he's with this other lady. Like, this is his other lady time. And I love this in a way because Bo Derek is kind of taken aback. Like, well, what? I'm the most beautiful girl in all the world. Why? How could he be with somebody else? And does he see them? Because he ends up just taking her back into the room, right?
No. He gets out. And he's, like, just standing there. We see so much of his ass in this movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like its own character. And he's like, what the fuck's going on here? They follow me, blah, blah, blah. And this gypsy gets out and approaches the car and is like, you get out of here.
Yeah.
He's mine. I know you may be some sexy American ? Went to school in Scotland. Not sure. But you need to leave now. I'm going to take him back to our little trailer here. And he's going to bang me and you got nothing. And then there's so much talk from Paloma being like, I will someday be his woman. I'm going to be his woman. And and even George Kennedy's like, what did you say? And she has to crawl into the front seat and go, did you not hear me? I'm his woman. I'm going to be his woman.
You do that really well. It's much funnier when it comes to
I couldn't imagine. Listening to her say it, I was like, I couldn't believe that they're like, yeah, just do this accent, whatever it is, and they were fine with it.
Okay, so, sorry. Sometimes there's parts of this movie I think about, and I'm like, oh. Like, she does say, look it, I'm a woman, when she's rubbing her boobs in the tub as they're like, Bo Derek's bathing. So that happens next. So Paloma has earned her kind of trust now with Bo Derek.
Yes.
Like, okay, you took us to him, yeah. And you're right. And so here you can stay in our big fancy hotel or wherever we're staying, and you can take a bath. And they're, Paloma, it's time to get out of the bath. And she's just loving getting sudsy. And so Bo Derek has to come over and help her wash.
So, Jamie, the character in this movie, they clearly state that she is 14 years old.
This Paloma girl, yeah.
Yes. This actress's actual age in this movie, 14 years old.
Oh.
Yeah. There's so many scenes of her just not clothed. And it's not like there's a scene later where she's in the tub and everything's shot from like shoulders up.
And it's lots of bubbles, yeah.
Yeah, but that restraint is not
kept.
It's not applied to most of the scenes where she's in the tub because she's just standing there. I read an article where this actress talked about like going up for this role and everything. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and John Derek thought that I had breast implants. And I was like, wait, at 14? And she's like, until I showed him that my boobs were real. I was like, what is going on? How
oh
is
my
this?
Gosh.
Like, I felt like when I watched this movie, I felt like I was ready for the door to be broken down and the police to come in and be like, you are under arrest. And I'd be like, yeah, that's understandable. But how was John Derek never thrown in prison? How did this guy never like rot in jail for this?
According to Wikipedia, his life wasn't all roses. And there was a little bit of universal intervention there where shit just went down because, it makes things uncomfortable. If it was just the one woman chasing down the other woman's man, like finding her way to the gypsy's little hut. But now you've involved this. And again, you keep the little girl as the informant and not so much as the, underage naked girl getting bathed by Bo Derek. Like, it's just you add another layer that now I'm disturbed by this. I wasn't entertained necessarily, but I was at least like, okay, you crazy people with your crazy ideas of what film is, But now I'm creeped out, and now I'm not going to finish watching your stupid movie.
Right.
Not yet, though. I keep going after this, so I am disturbed. Once we see the Paloma bathtub stuff, I'm like, I knew she was not of age, and I just went. Again, it's even one thing to just have her in the bathtub with the bubbles, but then she's staring at her breasts and saying, I'm a woman, I'm a woman. And then we get the Bo Derek giving her a little tubby, and I'm like, this is just totes and a propes, and I don't feel right about it.
Because maybe this is a situation where this girl's playing 14, but really she was 18 and just looks younger.
Sure.
But then even I was watching this going, no, I know she was in the Wonder Years. And I'm like, well, wait, that was in like the mid-90s. And she, wait, this is 10 years before that. And I'm like, well, this math doesn't work out. Yeah. So then I had to look it up and I went, nope, this is really gross and it's really gross. Horrible.
So, but I keep going because after great. This.
Good. So did I. I don't know why. But
I keep going because after this, now we get into this silly plot again. This movie is an hour and 45 minutes long. Could really be an hour maybe an hour 15. But we get these silly plot twists.
It wouldn't
twists.
Have been good, but it would have been less.
No, but at least it would have been just, okay, here's the next sex scene or whatever. this next plot that we encounter is where the Spanish guy is being pretty stern on. He's not going to make this compromise. He doesn't. She's insisting that she wants to buy his horse. She's interested in his tan horse, and he's insisting he's not selling horses. He sells. And this is a conversation, like you said earlier, when she's talking to her driver, and she's like, "Are you upset? Are you upset?" She keeps saying, "She's like, you don't sell horses. You sure you don't sell horses? Can you sell your horses to me? Can you sell your horses if I buy them?"
Yeah, I see that you're riding a horse. Are you sure? Just, I mean, you have a horse. You're riding it. Are you sure it's not for
sale? Can you sell it? Can you
sell it? Is there a way to sell? And finally, I thought he was lying, where he's like, no, I only sell wine. I was
yeah,
like, okay,
but that's
great.
He says he sells only wine and bulls. I think he sells the bulls that he rides. I don't know. He sells wine and bulls. Handy dandy for her bestie that she's been traveling with. Her family happens to own a winery. So they're not just going to buy a bottle. And this
Again,
is a whole thing, too.
Lying.
Can I buy a bottle?
Like,
can I buy
lying.
A million bottles? Can I buy 1,000 bottles? And now we get a brief tour of his winery because she's going to buy it.
It's not even, it's just, we
happening?
Just see a bunch of barrels
what
stacked up.
Happening?
It's not like we're walking through a field of grapes or anything like that. No,
Why?
It's just like, here's a basement and here's a bunch of barrels. And she's like, can I buy all of this? And I was like, are you talking about all those barrels? Are you talking about purchasing his winery? And why is this part of this movie?
Exactly. Why? Just to show you how much money she has, just to show you the power she has because she's rich.
Okay, great.
But this is how I got rehooked. I was like, what's going on with this wacky
You're
story?
You're like, oh, good wine intrigue.
No, I wasn't necessarily intrigued. I was just like, all right, at least we're not trying
right.
to...
Yeah.
See anybody underage naked. We're not trying to make, because just before that was the scene where the bestie is at the dinner table making inappropriate eyesies with the young boy.
I appreciate
And it doesn't come off as cute. It doesn't come off as I'm making silly faces because he's under the age of 8. It comes off as I'm, again, I'll use the word grooming this young boy to know that women are just an object to be.
I mean, if you were confused by this scene, the Spanish guy does lean over to this boy and be like, "Do you see that woman?
Yes,
she wants you."
Yes, to this 8-year-old boy.
Yes. And this kid's like raising his eyebrows, like Kevin McAllister.
Well, he's
in Home Alone.
The one that was drunk from earlier, so he's all hot and bothered. Thank God we didn't have to see that scene.
This kid should be asleep. You can't give kids that much wine and expect them to go and sit through dinner.
So this stupid subplot comes into play, but it's just to show you, I guess, that she's got crazy amounts of money, and now she's gotten one thing that she wants from him, which is the winery, and she's still working
friend,
on the horse.
Yeah, her friend got what she wants. She's still asking about horses. So finally, I think to end the horse conversation, this guy's like, God damn it, we can have sex.
No, I think she offers up the gift again. I think she's like, so I got a gift for you.
I give you a gift. Maybe I can have this horse then? Maybe? And I love how he takes her into a room and is like, wait here till morning. And she's like, well, that seems odd, but I'm okay with that, I guess.
Yeah, she another one that has to schedule it for the next day. Like, she's approaching these men and she's like,
sex where these men appear to have nothing else to do with their time.
No, but they have to take a night on it. Yeah, she is this, like, beautiful American woman who is just dying to give her virginity away to one of these guys. And they're all like, I got to get a massage first.
I have to get a massage, a steam, and then honestly, just take a nap.
Just take a little sleepy time. And then, so this is getting near, this is the ending of the movie for me.
Great.
So
I can't wait to pick
where
up this
are we?
Mantle.
We're at his house? Are we at his
We're at
house?
His sprawling estate.
Estate, okay. And she has found herself, she decides to get naked, and he comes in knowing, I guess, what's going to be. Well, she's naked until she's been waiting a little bit because he fell asleep and it was hard for the masseuse to wake him up. to come see her. Do you remember that? How the masseuse
is like, you're late for your sex date. I can't. I already gave you a massage. I had to go to bed. I had to set my alarm for a certain time so I could wake get you up.
Yeah. So he goes in, and she's, because she's gotten bored while she was waiting, she now has a sheet over her head and some kind of crown on her head.
No, she has like a ghost? Like one of those German helmets, like one of those German war helmets. Oh, is that what it is? Yes.
Yeah.
In a sheet, just dressed like a ghost. And you said she got bored. I was like, is there opium in this room too? Because it's
Did we do the opium yet? We missed the whole opium scene.
We skipped over the opium scene, which I kind of enjoyed it because I was like, great. If this is just like a drug adventure now, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. There was like when I
thought, she and her friend just get hammered.
Where is this when they're chasing the Spanish guy though, right?
Yeah. This is after they see him and his gypsy bride. And then she asks him about the horses in the snowy mountains. Then Paloma's like, I think he goes to that opium den all the time. Yeah. So that's when they go and the woman has a dragon painted on her face.
But like it was painted on by a kid at one of those like carnival face paint
places. It doesn't look like a tattoo. It doesn't look professionally done. It looks like John Derek did this before he shoved this woman in front of the camera.
Yeah, it looks like it was done with like not face paint, like tempura paint like or something. They just put on this lady's poor face. It's like
baby blue.
And it's like cracking at where like, it's not a good face paint terrible. Job. But yeah, they go before this as they're trying to these are the little misadventures that would rope you back in from it. Like, what are we doing at the opium den?
If we and then again at the opium den, things, I would enjoy this movie a little bit more.
I would be more right if we cut into more of this. Yes, but yeah, the opium scene was kind of fun, especially but it was just the two ladies for a little bit, just kind of being high and goofy together.
But then she even runs into him, and the two of them are kind of high and goofy together, which I was fine with. And that's when she convinces him to have sex with her.
Oh,
but they have to sober up. So he goes in, and she's under the sheet, and he's like, let's get down to it, and takes off all of his clothes to where she doesn't take the sheet off. She just stands there and goes, did you leave? Are you gone? Oh, no, I knew this wouldn't work. Like, what wouldn't work? Dressed as a ghost sex? Of course it wouldn't work. Well, here's where
I don't know if they're trying to make her seem more juvenile, more kid-like, which is gross, or they're just trying to make her seem like a moron, which is sad. But even when she does, like, she's like,
you've already done both at this point in the movie.
Yeah, right. Stop. Now this is the day she's been, like, waiting for. This is why she's left college, we think, is to just have this moment. And he's like, where would you like to be? She's like, I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. He's like, what should we start with? She's like, I don't know. What do you think? Where's the best? He's like, well, let's start in the bed.
Oh, Jamie, you delivered that line wrong. The bed. The bed would be nice. Let's go to the bed. He's so excited that he thought she's of having sex on Borat. A bed. Also, I think he is Italian. I'm not sure what's going on. Actually, he is an Italian actor pretending to be Spanish. And her friend is from Spain, pretending to be Italian.
Pretending to be, yeah.
So she's like, listen, I don't want to just jump into this. She doesn't tell him the honey story, but I'm sure that's on her mind. She's like, you know what I didn't do last time? I have some weird experimental tongue ear kissing that I'd love to try on you.
So this is where I began to really fade out. Because she says there's a special kiss she wants to give him.
I love
because, again, she wants to do things differently. Oh, and I'm like, what is this going to even be about? Are we involving any sticky foods? What's happening with this kiss? And she takes his ear. And first she licks around it, which is kind of like, I guess, like if you're into earlobe stuff.
Sure.
And then there's this like waddle of spit, phlegm. I don't know what it is that she collects that hangs from her mouth. And for some reason, there's like a shine, like the light hits it just right and it glows like a unicorn's horn, shimmers a bit, and she kind of hovers it over his ear. And then I don't know, after that, I was like, what is this?
There's a lot what of is spit happening that's here? In that guy's ear now.
Magical spit. Yeah. And then she's like, so did you like my kiss? And now's when I end it, right? When now they're having sex, he gets on top of her and she does this whole, her little sex thing. Oh,
her sex hands?
And then she goes, her sex hands. And then she says, I can't believe it's something like this. The lines, again, because she delivers them. Yeah. Like, I can't believe this is happening. It's happening right now. I'm losing my virginity. Oh. And then I was like, all right. And I literally slammed the computer thing down. And I was like, that's all.
Yes. Okay.
I don't need any more than that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to know what the... And I was envisioning the next 40 minutes has to do with her being sexually liberated and now having orgies with all the guys and the stuff. And I was like, all right. No, I don't know that I... Like at the end of Tarzan, when all of a sudden we're like, all right, now the last scene is just with the animals and we're all naked and we're floating down the... river. So I just shut my laptop here and ended
it. So I will take over. Feel free. You know, first of all, pepper me with questions or just make comments as we go.
Okay.
All right. Now, what I will say before we get started here and before I sort of take over.
Yeah.
I'm glad you saw as much of this movie as you did, because I would hate for anything that I say now to make you interested in watching the rest of this movie. Because some crazy things happen, but none of it's good. Like, you know the movie that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's where I felt like I needed to get to. Enough where I was like, knew what was going on. And I'm not saying I had to get this far to know. But once you get this far, you're like, all right. I kind of get the... I mean, I'm halfway just... interested to hear how we wrap this up.
Yeah, it's fun. But, and there's some stuff that happens that I didn't expect. Mm. But the rest of this movie is just her relationship with this guy. And they don't jet set anymore. They don't go anywhere. Like, there's more talk of buying this winery, like way more than we need. She finally convinces him the next day, because I assume the sex was so incredible. She convinces him to sell her the horse.
The
thing that she was...
That was what she was after to begin with, yeah.
That's what she was after, and all it took was her virginity to get this horse. So then we cut to her and her friend and Paloma now using the steam room. All of them are sitting there topless, of course. And then suddenly the gypsy runs in with a knife.
Oh, that redheaded one that he was first with?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and not like, you've been seeing my man. She's like, he has no right to sell you our horse.
Oh, it's all about the horse.
It's all about the horse. And there's like a knife fight. Like, she jumps on her back, and then Paloma jumps on her.
And they're all naked and sweaty in the sauna.
They're all naked except for the gypsy. So we get like a naked knife fight for a little bit. And then they finally just like push her out the door and close it and then laugh a lot. And we never see the gypsy again in this movie.
Mm.
He has a bullfight and he gets gored by the bull.
Now, is she watching the bullfight?
She's watching it. She's loving it in this like sparsely filled stadium. Like, there's nobody there watching this. No. And it's supposed to be the biggest event ever in the history of Spain, I'm going to say. So he's gored by this bull, and of course, like, it cuts to her in slow motion, like, being shocked by all of this. And I was like, oh, this dude's...
The slow motion with the slow motion.
So much slow motion. And I was like, oh, man, this dude's totally deadzos. What a shame.
Deadzos.
And then we cut to him getting operated on, and it's him on a table in just a big blood spot on his crotch.
Oh,
and he seems totally fine, to where I was like, oh, all right, well, I guess it wasn't that serious. But it was, Jamie, because his dick doesn't work now.
Oh.
And that's it. Like, that's he's so sad. He's so sad because he cannot have sex with her ever again. And she's also sad because she's like, I only had sex one time in my life and I'll never have sex again because I love this man so much. I want to be with him forever.
Mm-mm.
She proposes to him and he will not accept this proposal because, Jamie, he's not a man anymore. So he can't put her through this.
Oh,
this life
God.
Of no sex.
Oh, my God.
And she says, I'm going to convince you that you should marry me. I'm going to convince you that I'm the woman for you. I'm going to learn to ride a horse really well, which has not been an issue in this movie at all, but apparently it's important. And I'm going to show you that I'm strong-willed. And I guess also maybe if we can, we'll fix your dick. So now in this movie, after all, oh my God, I only have like 8 more lines of notes left.
Do you have notes though on this? Hold on,
yeah.
I'm going to get a pen because I'm going to write.
a pen? What are you doing? I forgot about the rest of Bolero.
I'm taking big notes on what you're saying now.
Why? Oh. What are you doing? Are
you putting together a book report? My last note in my whole notes is the dog. Because when they go to have sex and the dog is watching.
I was really captivated by the dog, kind of, because the dog is in this movie from that sex until the end.
Oh.
I was really curious. I was like, is this the same dog from Tarzan the Ape Man? Like, I was hoping it was just John Derek's dog.
Maybe, and he's like, I put my wife and my dog in all my movies.
So now we've been talking a lot about the wine for whatever reason. We had a scene where she's at the bank and paying for all this, buying it. George Kennedy's falling asleep. There's a scene later on, I don't know what it is. They're all so excited. They're so happy. They're sitting around, and they are getting wasted on wine. George Kennedy, in the background, tips his chair back and falls backwards. It's pretty funny. A bit of physical comedy by him. So, at this point, I guess because the winery purchase was such a big deal, guess who comes back into this movie? It's the kilt guy.
Is he technically then her dad's or her estate's lawyer or whatever?
I think so, which made me think, like, well, wait, who really bought this winery? Did Bo Derek buy this or her friend? Because it's not like they're related. Like, unless this guy's just like the greatest lawyer ever and he's hired by everyone. So this guy comes back. We have a scene of her friend and this Scotsman in the stable. Just like a camera, it doesn't move. It's just the two of them delivering dialogue to each other where her first line to him is, do you like virgins?
Oh, my God.
And he's like, yeah, that would be fine. And she's like, hey, what's under that kilt there? And starts like pawing at his kilt it up. And he's like, no. He's like, whoa, wait. If you want to see what's under this kilt, you got to get to know me a little bit.
Oh,
and she is playing this as though it's a comedy. He seems uncomfortable on camera. And also,
wait, did they do any barn sex, or she's just trying?
To see what's going on under this kilt, and he's like, "Whoa! I'll be here for a while. We can figure this out later."
Okay.
Also, we also see that George Kennedy is putting the moves on this Spanish guy's southern mom.
Oh well,
yes. They have it's not a sex scene, but it's an implied sex scene where they both late in this movie jump into bed together.
Oh, my. So we're knowing that everyone's feeling the sexual freedom by the end
of this movie. Everyone's paired up.
Gotcha.
So now, okay, so this is where I kind of thought I was out on this movie totally. She is asleep, Bo Derek, and suddenly a bunch of men in like full robes, like full hijabs, run in and grab her and throw her in a car and kidnap her.
What?
I was like, oh, great.
Is this the Sheik is back?
Yes, it's the
Sheik. Oh, my God.
He has kidnapped her to have sex with her because, as he says,
she's mine.
My dad did it to my mom. Like, it's like a family tradition that you kidnap a woman. And then she even says to him, they fly that same plane back to the desert.
My word. That yellow one that he loves so much.
They get out of this plane in the desert, and she's like, but I'm not a virgin anymore. And he's like, oh, shit, that sucks for me. Okay, you can go back. The end of that plot line.
Oh, so he kidnapped her only when he thought she was a virgin, and then when she found out he wasn't, she was like, you're free to go.
Yep, exactly. God. Yeah, exactly. We also then, now that she's back, we get so many shots of her riding a horse.
Is she clothed at least?
Through most of them.
It's white clothes, though, of course, right?
No. She's dressed like a horse rider would dress with those,
those chaps.
Tight pants or whatever they wear and, like, high black boots and stuff. Mm-hmm. Except when this guy, I guess his penis is better enough for him to leave the house and to, like, watch her ride. Then she rides around the arena once and just takes off all of her clothes to the point where she's then just riding a horse naked.
Oh, my God.
He thinks it's great. He's like, this is
helping him heal, essentially. Right. Yes. Yeah.
that night we do get to see what's under that kilt, because now we have a very long sex scene between
with her and
friend.
The lawyer guy.
Yes. And it's
because
just...
the Spanish guy's penis didn't get fixed.
No,
after
not
she rode around naked.
No, that didn't do it. So she has to fight a bull. Spoiler. The like tongue in the ear sex scene.
Yeah.
This one with her friend and the lawyer is just as lengthy and just as graphic. Probably more so because we're getting like full on like head to toe shots. Lots of thrusting from him
while
she's talking the whole time. Like the same thing. Like, is this good? Like, is this good for you? Are you having a good time? Like, I can't believe I'm not a virgin anymore. This is incredible.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. It's just as long. It's horrible. She finally fights a bull and he is
on
there
her special
see-
horse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the Spanish guy is there to see how good she is at it. The end of this movie is her. She dresses like a cowboy for some reason.
She does have. I forgot to mention the like, given the headgear she wears when she goes to see the Sheik for the first
yep.
time. She's got some other
it's
headband thing
some
that
cool
she wears.
Outfits yeah. in this movie.
So
at
what
times.
Does she have here now?
She has a regular cowboy hat on. She almost looks like a Spanish cowboy, if
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
She's smoking a cigar.
Is she a bolero? Is that
I guess
she
she's
is?
A bolero. And I like to think that the Spanish guy, the way he's cured, is just for a moment thinking, is a dude going to come in here and have sex with me? Because she totally looks like a guy for just a minute. And then she's like, well, dude, we're going to get that dick to work if it's the last thing I do.
How's this?
Then this movie ends, as I told you earlier, with like a 5 to 7 minute sex scene where they appear to be transported to sex clouds because the bed is the same, but now it's just, it's clouds. And
oh, because it's euphoria. It's the
it's
ecstasy.
Euphoria.
She
yes.
talked earlier about wanting ecstasy yeah. and to feel all of the uh-huh. wonderful, sexy feelings of...
Yeah. Yeah, so his penis now works.
Great.
They have sex in the clouds. It was cool. So long, baby. I fast-forwarded through this, and
you did?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I was like,
you're like
this
it's
is
still going.
Still going. Every now and then I would hit play mm-hmm. just to hear, but it was just moaning. So I was like, my God, this
what
is
are
all
we
this
doing?
Scene is.
Yeah.
Cut to them getting married, freeze frame, the end.
Oh, there's a wedding.
There's a wedding at the end
he
of
he makes her
movie.
Her proper wife.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's special.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my last note is, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with that one.
Yeah.
Holy shit is right. What the hell?
Holy
shit. Yeah,
this
is garbage. This is just garbage. That's what this is.
Yep.
I almost was, when I wasn't going to watch it, I was saying there's so many things in this going on in this world right now to protest. And I'm protesting Bo Derek and Bodero. But as we know, I didn't stick to the protest. I did watch The Hour, and I want that hour back in my life. I'm sad about it.
Yeah.
I am. But as far as recommendation goes, I have two, because I almost forgot about a recommendation.
Okay, yeah.
And then when I remembered, my first thought was, because I knew as a Bo Derek-y movie, this was going to be a little sexy. And like I said, I'm up for sultry, but this
a
was
little
not.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Don't say, you just knew there was going to be nudity. Don't
it was
say, gonna
be
don't
naked.
Say you knew
yeah,
it was going to be sexy.
Sexy's not the word, right. But that was the aim, right? It was going to be sexual.
Right.
But it did make me aware, thinking back over our movies, my favorite
yeah.
sex scene that we've watched for one of our movies is, hands down, the tall guy with Emma Thompson and Jeff Goldblum. Best sex scene. That's something I recommend. People, you
yeah.
could probably Google it. It's really fun. And for this movie's purposes, it's or for this podcast purposes, rather, I should say, it's the best sex scene we've seen, I think.
What I would also add on to that, I do think that that's probably the most fun sex scene we've seen in this mm-hmm. entire podcast. If you want to listen to an episode where Jamie does not stop talking... and most of it is because I am just shocked. Like I was just,
yeah,
you
didn't like
you
that movie.
Came, I didn't like it, but you came in so hot and were just like shot out of a cannon. And you were just like, I want to go through every piece of dialogue,
I
every
loved that
movement
movie.
Of every character. Like, that was crazy. I think I just sat, like, just watching you go wide-eyed for the whole episode. That was
a fun movie crazy. For me. Yeah.
I know. I know you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I will just echo what you said. This movie's dog shit. Like, this is, and I said it, I don't know if it was before we started recording or, you know, for the stuff at the beginning that will be at the end. This is the worst movie we've ever seen.
Covered, yeah.
And I think I've watched some really bad movies. This might be one of, if not the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, this is unbearably bad.
Yeah.
Like, at every turn, because you can make a sexy movie. You can make a silly movie. That's fine. I've seen it. This is, like, I can't believe after this movie, Ghost Can't Do It got made. Like, I wouldn't be.
I think they were at the end of the line after that, though, right?
Oh, no, no. You're at the end of the line there, but I feel like they should be switched. Like, I feel like this should be the movie where everybody goes, no, 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 John Derek, you're not allowed to do this anymore.
Yeah, yeah, this is bad. It's just, it's not tasteful. It makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's terrible. I was going to recommend, I was looking around at George Kennedy movies, and he's in a ton of stuff. So, you know, things from the 50s and 60s, you know, he's been in Westerns and, you know, crime noir movies and stuff like that. There's a movie from 1987. Maybe we'll do it sometime on this podcast. It's called Uninvited. Mm. It's a bad movie, but it's really funny. It's about it was a cat that was experimented on. So it's like a mutant cat that sneaks onto a ship and then just kills people on the ship one at a time. But the cat's great because it transforms. Like, one shot will be of a real cat and then, like, a crazy puppet that's clearly just a puppet. It's just a really bad horror movie. But again, George Kennedy's career in the 80s was not going well for him. Mm. So he was also in Uninvited, which I would... If you like bad movies that are entertaining, not bad movies like Bolero, I would check out Uninvited.
All right.
It's kind of fun.
All right.
Oh. Oof. So, listeners, you are in the midst of, I think this is 5 episodes into our string of 7 weeks of episodes every Friday.
Wow. That's pretty consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, first of all, we're very consistent, Jamie, but we don't overexert ourselves. We've never, other than, what was it? Sorry, License to Drive?
Yeah.
We have not missed an every other Friday since we've started this.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so we'll be back to the every other Friday in a few weeks, but we have a holiday special coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, and apparently... I didn't know this. Our holiday cartoons from the 80s are becoming slim pickings, and we haven't even done a whole lot of them. Like, I thought there were so many more, but I looked them up. There aren't a ton.
There's just a handful available. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we've got some length and issues this time. We don't want to too long. We got to, with all of this content output, right? We're busy. We're busy little bees, and it is the holidays.
We certainly are.
So, not that our time or our listeners' time, but not that time is valuable. Is the point?
And I will, like, a peek behind the curtain here. Your suggestion, great suggestion, was Pee-wee Herman holiday Christmas holiday special, whatever it is.
Yeah, Pee-wee's Playhouse holiday special. Yes, super fun.
It was an hour long. And I was like, I don't, you know what? Let's just do something quick. Let's do one of these cartoons. So then, hey, how long could Yogi Bear's First Christmas be? Could it be 90 minutes? Yes. How? Okay. How is that 90 minutes?
I'm thinking, because you know how they used to do, like, Hanna-Barbera and Friends? I think it's not just Yogi Bear. Like, they also used to do these little, like, you know, it's even like the Bugs Bunnies. It's not an hour and a half of a story being told about Yogi's Christmas. Or maybe it is. I don't remember. But it's more these little vignettes, these little stories that add. And maybe that's how it is. I don't remember. I do remember, I think, watch. But anyway, so we didn't pick Yogi Bear because of length.
We didn't pick that either.
We axed Playhouse, Pee-wee's Playhouse, again, because of length. And so we went for a more concise. There was some runners up there that were interesting. We've already done the Smurfs Christmas. We've already, as we know, because it just came out for our listeners, the He-Man She-Ra Christmas.
Yep.
Cabbage Patch Kid Christmas. So we've covered a lot of these animated 80s shows.
Almost all of them are on our Patreon. So they'll right. come out in dribs and drabs. You will hear all
we'll
of this
drib
stuff.
And drab them for yeah. you.
If you're like, oh, the Cabbage Patch Christmas, that sounds
it's
amazing.
It's pretty fun, actually.
You'd be right, actually. Yeah. So you'll get it at some point.
It's a good show, yeah.
So we're going to cover, and when this came up, I went, well, wait, this year doesn't make any sense. So the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Started in 1962, Jamie. Season one was in 1962. Season two was in 1985.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. So, what a so comeback. There is a,
so okay. there is a Jetsons Christmas Carol episode that we're going to do.
Got
and
it.
I believe it is just called A Jetsons Christmas Carol. So I would have thought, if you asked me when we started this podcast, what would our first exposure to A Christmas Carol be? I probably would have put my money on Scrooged. Turns out it's the Jetsons. It's in a very long
I
think time.
I like our little Christmas special times, even sometimes. When they involve, especially when they involve Mr. T and or Wookiees. That's always fun God. When the Wookiees are trying to find a home.
Yeah.
Or their home, right? That's always fun.
Mr. T and Webster. Oh, you guys will get that at some point. Yeah. Boy, these things are just sitting on our Patreon, and I can't wait to bring a Star Wars Christmas special to everybody.
Yeah, it was something.
All right. Okay. So anyway, so that will be next week. So have a great week, everybody. Wait, until we talk to you again next week. Have a great week. I forget how I was at this.
Oh, we just say goodbye.
Oh, is that it?
All right. Okay.
Spanish. I know you are a Spanish.
One. There's all your right. record. There's your red record. We're going.
You know, it's funny because I because there are three Bo Derek movies, and I just today just posted the Ghost Can't Do It.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I see a pattern here. Because Ghost Can't Do It, even though it was for patrons, even though we didn't recommend movies at the end, even though none of that stuff happened, that was like an hour 35. Tarzan yeah. was like an hour 25. If we make it to an hour with this, I will be shocked. Like, I'm done talking about Bo Derek. I'm done talking about John Derek. And this movie, this has less plot or less interesting
oh, it's
things
awful.
Than...
Oh, it's awful.
I didn't think I have anything to tell could you. Be worse than the other two, but this is so much worse.
Oh, you gave me a golden ticket because you watched this before me and you were like, it was a beautiful suggestion. And we must have brought it up before on the show, but you had said that maybe this, and you were taking one for the team. I was like, I had big heart. I was big love for the DP. Because you said maybe this is one of those movies that one of us doesn't have to watch and the other will explain it to us. And I considered it. I very, very highly considered it because I watched the coming attractions. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know that I could do this. And then I looked at the length. Hour 45?
Yeah.
What are we doing with all this time? I
First
tell you
of
what
all,
we're doing.
Shorter
we're
than doing Tarzan somehow.
Well, because there was a little less traveling through the safari. But there was still, boy, do we travel when we're Bo Derek.
We're everywhere.
So
we're
much
jet setting
traveling.
Around Europe. This movie should just be called Accents?
Money to burn.
Question mark?
Because Accents. Yeah.
Her friend. Where the fuck is her friend from? When her friend finally goes, but I am Spanish. I'm like, no, you're not. And then I looked her up and I went, this actress is Spanish. She's not even doing a Spanish accent.
Oh, what about the, what's the bullfighter's mom has a Southern accent. What is that about?
There were, there were several times in this movie. I think the thing that made me say to you, you don't need to watch this if you don't want to. was when we're introduced to bullfighting, because I was like, I don't even want to watch a bull. If I have to watch a bull die on screen, if I have to watch Bo Derek murder a bull in this movie, I'm done. I'm ending the podcast.
No, you just have to see. Yeah, no, that's not thankfully, what you're
saying. Thankfully, I'm hoping that was movie magic and it wasn't like those things were actually stuck in that bowl. Animal violence is something I cannot take.
I hear it.
And real animal violence on screen. Like,
yeah. You think the Derricks cared? Well, she does love horses.
So you watched this whole movie?
No, I have I must confess. Wait. I stopped. I watched it late last night because I was like, he's giving me the out. I'm not going to do it. And I kept going back and forth with and then I was just got, you know, busy or whatever. And then I just had to do it. I just had to at least see. I said, I'll give myself the first 15, 20 minutes. And I got about an hour in. I'll tell you exactly when I stopped. And I was like, whoa.
Please let me know.
But I was all this I was about to, I can't watch anymore. Like when her friend is making winky face, once they hit the bullfighting and they go to Spain, I guess, for her next conquest. Like the first one, I'm like, is this, because at the end there, it is kind of comical. We'll get there. But that honey scene, none of it is sexy. That's the other thing, is nothing is happening. It's all such, like yes, part of it is like, oh, I'm you know, consider myself somewhat of a feminist and the sexualizing of the female body, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But I'm also like, yeah, but if it's a hot movie, then it's a hot movie and we'll recognize the sensual. But it's so, it's just so disturbing. It's so like pedophilia. It's awful.
lot wrong with this. That honey scene, I texted you. I was choking back vomit. I was like, this looks disgusting. That honey scene was crazy. I was like, is that even honey anymore? The guy appears to be drowning in her belly button. And
it's splashing in his face. Splashing. Honey to splash.
It's like slime you used to play with as a kid. I was like, this is so gross.
And he's just like in it. I don't know that I'll say I enjoy it, but I don't want to even say appreciate it. They get high a lot. They have the opium den they go to. Sure. This guy's too high to finish the deal because he's hitting the hookah too hard. Like
when he passes out, I don't know what happened.
What?
I thought something happened with the honey. Like the honey was poisoned. guy died.
No, I didn't think we were taking those kind of turns. This script too. There's no script in this. The lines that they spoke, I guess, is what I should say. And again, you said it before, like. We didn't like any of the Bo Derek movies, and each one is progressively creepier. It just is like, and then, so I looked up. I'll tell you about it as we talk because we haven't even done a thing yet.
I took notes, kind of.
I didn't watch, so it's the last 40 minutes that I stopped. Because from what I had stopped at, I was like, I can't. If it goes on from this, I don't need to see it. This should be wrapped up in the next 20, and I have 40 more minutes. I'm not going to do it to myself. And I didn't. So
that was generous. I've never to say not. It should go for 20 more minutes after you hit the hour mark.
Yeah. Yeah. She is barking again.
Well. She's like, don't you talk shit on Bo Derek.
Yes, she is. Maybe she's a big Bo fan. She's like, Bo loves animals. She does love horses. I mean, that whole argument over the horse, that wasn't about the horse. How did he not know that?
None of the dialogue in this movie is about what's happening on screen.
It's very strange.
I don't think any of this was written. I would be shocked
to
know.
You think it was all improvised? There's some horses, and there's maybe you decide. What do you do? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think might be happening in this scene?
We've got the setting.
Kind of like some.
And then there's Bo Derek. She's beautiful. I don't even know her
like
name.
Like an improv challenge is what Bolero is, I believe. All right, let's start. Let's just start because I want to stop.
I'm with that. I'm for it. So hello everyone. Let me try that again. I have not been to the dentist recently. Just a cup of coffee. A little caffeine goes a long way for me these days. I'm on the tea now, and so when I do the coffee, my lips don't work, apparently. Wow. I'll try that again.
It's going to be tough to do a podcast.
I know. Well, it is Bo-wo-wo after all. So, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies.